Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Hoo-ah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciates you joining us for the second hour of the show on this fine day in America. We are and should be proud Americans. Here's what we have for you this hour. First, we'll discuss drafting women with Elaine Donnelly. Then we'll hear from Air Force Academy football coach Troy Calhoun. Then our football co-host Quentin Roberts will discuss this year's Service Academy football season. So it's a pleasure to welcome back to the show Elaine Donnelly. She founded the Center for Military Readiness. She really cares about our military. Welcome back to the show, Elaine. Glad you could join us.
It's good to talk to you, Danny.
Elaine, take a minute and tell us why you founded CMR.
Well, many years ago, I was appointed to a Pentagon advisory committee called Defense Advisory Committee on Women in the Services. And what we did was we advised the Department of Defense on issues involving women. As civilian women, we would visit bases, we would talk to women in uniform, find out what the issues were, bring them back, make recommendations. I was an active member, and I saw an awful lot about military culture that made it vulnerable because some issues were considered too sensitive to discuss honestly. And that didn't bother me as a civilian woman. I just asked a lot of questions, and if I saw something was wrong, I tried to do something about it. I wrote many recommendations to support military women, but some things just never resolve themselves, such as women in direct ground combat, the infantry, special operations forces, and the like. But that was back in the Reagan years, and in 1992, I was appointed to a presidential commission this time on women in combat. That's the short name, women, the status of women in the military. But what we did there was debate whether or not women should be used in direct ground combat, combat aviation, naval combatant ships, things like that, the whole range of issues. And when that year was over, I realized there was no organization staying current on these military social issues. So I formed the CMR, founded it in 1993. And these issues, military personnel issues, have a direct effect on readiness and morale, recruiting. All of these issues, you don't defend the country with weapons and ships and airplanes alone. It's all about the people. And if you do things that make military life more difficult or more dangerous, that's the kind of thing that CMR talks and writes about. We report on, we analyze all sorts of military social issues. And we're supported by people who agree with us that we want to have the best military in the world. And we don't want to make military life more difficult or more dangerous. We want the best and the best policies so that we can adequately defend America with the best military in the world as we have now.
Yes, ma'am. And clearly, you've been doing that. And as a former military guy, I'm glad there's some people like you that are willing to push every issue so that we don't ignore the awkward ones and we deal with them.
Right.
Or we try to deal with them. We need somebody advocating for us.
Well, I don't claim to speak for military men and women. Their experience is different. But I am involved in the world of the politics of the Pentagon. And I've seen how policies are made. And I've seen how high-level officers, 06 and above, they're afraid to join me in asking questions or questioning the kinds of policies that are harmful because it could affect their career in a negative way. That is a very real problem. It always has been since the first time when I was appointed to the Pentagon Advisory Committee back in the 1980s. The problem has in many ways gotten worse with the mandates for diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI. The obsession of the current administration with policies like critical race theory, dividing people by race and pitting people against each other. The DEI mandates that judge people based on superficial characteristics instead of meritocracy. This is a big issue that was not around quite a few years ago, but it certainly is front and center right now. The current Congress is looking at some amendments, as they did last year, to deal with what has been called the woke military. And I'm glad they are. There aren't as many this year as last year because the margin of Republicans in the House was less after the last election. But many of these issues hopefully will be addressed in the future by a new administration and a new Congress, the 119th Congress. And I think everybody needs to think about these issues now, vote accordingly, see where the candidates stand. That means Senate and congressional candidates as well, and the presidency. I mean, all of these issues affect the military, but the military really, as an institution, cannot defend itself. It's up to civilians and voters to exercise authority over the military through the elected representatives.
Yes,
and,
ma'am.
That's why the institution is vulnerable. You elect a lot of people who have a very poor view of the military or don't understand its mission, don't respect it. That's where people can get killed. That's what's unique about the military. Lives are at risk. And you have to be very careful you don't implement policies that make it harder to defend America, harder to be trained, to be adequately trained. Whether men or women, we need to have the best people possible and not go off into these social agendas that are counterproductive.
Yes, ma'am. This is Colonel Denny Gill on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Elaine Donnelly from the Center for Military Readiness. Elaine, once again, there's a move in Congress to require that, should there be ever be another military draft, that women must register for the draft and be drafted. Is
yes.
there any logic behind this?
Well, there's a new ploy that is being used this year. It's kind of misleading. It's a two-step operation, I guess is the only way to describe it, because this issue has come up many times before, and it's always been defeated. Here's the thing. On the House side, they passed an innocuous appearing amendment saying that men, and it uses the male pronouns, men would have to, or they wouldn't have to go and register on their own. They would be automatically registered with Selective Service. And a lot of people said, oh, that's a cost-cutting measure. That's efficiency. They voted for it. So it came out of the House. Now, I predicted that the Senate would take out the male pronouns and substitute persons instead of men or male pronouns. And that's exactly what happened. On the Senate side, Senator Reid, the chairman of the Armed Services Committee, acting behind closed doors, as they do every year, when they debate and pass a version of the National Defense Authorization Act, NDAA, for 2025. Senator Reid added a new wrinkle. He said, well, we'll have automatic registration of persons, including women. And then he has a separate provision saying, but female trainees or draftees would not be involved in combat assignments should there be a draft in the future, Selective Service draft. Now, this is problematic because it's a promise, a false promise. There is no way that the Department of the Army, which cannot even define what a woman is, would define what combat is. What would happen is once you're in the military, you do what the military tells you to do.
Yes.
And there are no distinctions at this time. The legislation refers back to December 3rd, 2015. That date was the date where all the arguments against using women in the infantry and other close combat MOSs, they were all those arguments and data and research, it was all swept aside by the Secretary of Defense, Ashton Carter, December 3rd, 2015. And he said, well, we're going to open up everything, no distinctions, all branches of service, even special ops, Navy SEALs, you name it, we're going to have women. And it's for reasons of equity. That's what happened, okay? But if you say, well, we're going to exempt women from positions they were exempt from on that date, number one, nobody knows what those positions are. I mean, I know because I keep files and I remember what they were, but it was a long time ago. But now, officially, the Army says, oh, there's no differences between men and women, and they treat them exactly the same, even though for myriad, tons of reasons, we know that men and women are not the same. And their capabilities in the direct ground combat units, the ones that attack the enemy, their capabilities are quite different.
They are indeed. And we're about out of time, Elaine.
Well, if this amendment passes, again, it would pass probably behind closed doors, again, a major policy decision made behind closed doors affecting every young man and woman in America. Think of that. This is not the right way to go about it. There are many reasons why draft our daughters is poor policy. It's bad policy. It should not be implemented. If you have a call up of 50% men and 50% women, and you know that maybe 1 out of 10 of the women are qualified, what you do is you jam the system and you ruin the system and you make it harder to deploy in a real emergency. There's also a flaw in the argument saying, well, it's only fair. Yeah, women have always served in time of national emergency. And it's an insult to imply that they have not or would not. We don't need a draft to ensure that that happens. So this will be coming up in the fall. We don't know what's going to happen on it, but right now this could pass, and you heard it here first.
I'm afraid you're right. How can listeners plug into Center for Military Readiness?
Well, our website has several articles about everything going on with the NDAA. It's at www.cmrlink.org. Again, cmrlink.org. Look up those articles. There's even the phone numbers and ways that you can reach the members of the Senate and the House. We cannot allow Draft Our Daughters to pass. There's also some other amendments that would be harmful. And there's some good ones too, though. Even the Senate passed some good amendments having to do with the transgender issue, believe it or not. So it's a mixed bag, and it requires civilians and military and retired military to look over the shoulders of Congress and say, look, take this seriously. We're talking about lives. We're talking about national security. And it's not just a woman's issue. It's something that all of us should be concerned about.
Well said. Thank you, Elaine, for sharing with us today. Thank you for your continuous service to our nation's military. I'm proud that we're friends.
Thank you.
Next up, we'll talk with the Air Force Academy's football coach. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. It's time to do some knee bends. Go halfway down each time. Do about 50. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. I'll be right back. Suppose you were forced to defend yourself or your family. This can happen to anybody, so it's important to be prepared. You will likely face legal bills. Even if you're in the right in a self-defense situation, there will almost always be an investigation, and you may find yourself in the legal system. U.S. Law Shield is here to help you through these events. Experienced U.S. Law Shield attorneys are ready to defend you 24/7, 365. To sign up, go to uslawshield.com and use promo code FRONTLINES.
Veterans have unique health care needs from their time in service. They deserve access to timely and quality care.
Concerned Veterans for America continues working to get veterans the care they have earned.
We were instrumental in getting the VA Mission Act signed into law, and we fight every day for more reforms that expand health care access and options for veterans everywhere.
Visit cvafrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Front Lines of Freedom. It's a pleasure to welcome to the show U.S. Air Force Academy's football coach, Coach Troy Calhoun. Thanks for joining us today, Coach.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it, Denny.
And joining us, of course, is our football co-host, Quentin Roberts. You're back for duty, brother. Glad you're here.
Hey, Denny, a pleasure to be here. Of course, always a pleasure to talk to Air Force head coach Troy Calhoun.
Yeah, you two knew each other a little bit when you were both playing football, if I remember right. Why don't you take it from here?
Well, that was a few years ago, Denny. I went back when quarterbacks and fullbacks met in the same meeting room. And Troy was an outstanding quarterback for Air Force and always had a mind for coaching. Hello, Troy. It's good to see you and welcome to the show.
Really appreciate it, Q. And to set the record straight, Denny, it wasn't a little bit. It was a lot of bit. Like you said, you're in there seat by seat, shoulder by shoulder, and more importantly, hip by hip.
It sure is. And you know, Troy, I've heard you talk about how off the field the academy prepares and what we do off the field has even so much more of an impact on the team mentality that everyone brings on the field. I know that, you know, we felt that then, and it seems like that same sentiment pervades through today.
Yeah, you know, in so many ways, Quentin, I'll tell you what's pretty incredible. There is a shell to a degree. I mean, you're in there with your brothers, with your teammates. The focus, certainly there's an educational aspect to it, but the maturity and the growth and the way you treat each other, and most of all, the way you pull together, not only in football, but in other ways that that carry forth later into life, and certainly when it's time to serve.
Yeah, and you've always been a real great steward and advocate of the service. You know, but you're moving into, since year 18 as the head coach?
No, just a couple of years here.
Wow, I tell you what. Seems like just yesterday you were coming over from the Houston Texans and walking in. And, you know, I really wanted to just ask you, in terms of some of the change, I mean, so much has changed in college football, right? I mean, now it's NIL, now it's the transfer portal. But students could always leave the academy. How has NIL, if at all, that's name, image, and likeness, how has that impacted cadets at the academy, if at all?
Well, it hasn't in any way, just because they aren't allowed any kind of name, image, and likeness deals to contract accordingly. So now probably plays a more significant factor on the front end in recruiting. Sure. Just because naturally you are asked by each young person and their family, too, if there are NIL opportunities.
Great. You know, and at Air Force, of course, everybody receives a stipend and always has. Even Denny had NIL at West Point in 63, didn't you, Denny? Well, let's move into a little bit of football. Troy, you're going into this season, you're coming off really a great season. When Zach Larry got hurt last year, really impacted the season, kind of derailed it in a way, really came back strong for the bowl game. But you're reloading this year. You're reloading. It looks like John Boucher, from everything I've been able to discern, is going to be stepping into the QB role. And what does that competition look like offensively, at least thus far?
Yeah, Quentin, you're exactly right. We only return one starter on offense. And so you're replacing across the board, replacing an excellent fullback in Emmanuel Michelle. Also, Owen Burke played a bunch of snaps for us there. All five offensive linemen. You mentioned Zach Lear, our quarterback. Caleb Rillos, our tight end. John Lee Eldridge, our tailback. And then Dane Kinneman, our slot, our Z receiver. And you know, you asked there about the quarterback position. We have three guys there now: John Boucher, Josh Johnson, and Quentin Hayes. And all three have done a good job here these first couple of weeks in August. And I think probably more than else, what excites you is looking ahead a year from now, meaning they have an opportunity here to get some game snaps, to take advantage of an offseason, another spring ball. And then where are they in August of 2025?
You know, and similarly, you're reloading on the defensive side. I mean, you know, you lose Thorpe Award winner, Trey Taylor. You lose Bo Richter, too. Both of those going to the NFL. You know, I know Peyton Zadroik is back. But where do you look for, especially for the leadership on the defensive side?
Yeah, you know, those are rare guys you just described. I mean, it's the only Jim Thorpe Award winner in the history of any service academy. You look Alec Mock, also a three-year start inside linebacker that's currently with the Denver Broncos. You said there Bo Richter, who was just an absolute tear in the bowl game. And then just, you know, 4 days ago there for the Minnesota Vikings in the first preseason game, only played 20 snaps, had two tackles for losses, also had two sacks. You just don't replace guys with that kind of talent. Now, we do have some eager guys. They are young. They have not played. But I've been really, really impressed with the spirit and the commitment that they have. And because of it, I do think we're making good growth and good improvement.
Well, it always makes me smile when I think about that defensive coordinator that you have who played so many snaps on defense. Oh, Sonny Noor. But continuity on the coaching staff is really one of the strengths of the team, because when you have to reload, I supposing that you have already trained, you know, you have the systems in place. There's not a lot of newness that the new players have to learn.
Well, you're exactly right. We have more alumni on our coaching staff than any other college football program in the country. And a lot of that is intentional. You know, I think the understanding that you have, certainly when a young person's in high school, to share the experiences of the academy, also to be able to perhaps create a vision of some of the things that that a young man, young woman may do on active duty. I think that's invaluable. But specifically on the football part, you know, just being able to have the same people in place that know system-wise the nuances, the details, and they truly recognize and understand just the value of the process. And there's no microwave here. You know, there's nothing instant or automatic. And because of it, just the commitment to the longer haul.
You know, the service academies all are developmental programs. I mean, there's, you know, and still remain as such, kind of a throwback in today's age of again, the transfer portal and instant gratification for the players. But, you know, I'm going to end with this question. What will it take for you to get the Commander-in-Chief's trophy back to Colorado Springs this year? Other than beating Army and Navy, we know what it
is. How to do it. You know, I think, Quint, more than anything else, the transformation that has to occur. I mean, just forever evolving, improving, adapting, just trying to find incremental improvement day in, day out. And that's during not only when you're getting ready for that particular week, but in the months and the weeks leading up to early October when you open up against Navy to kick off that part of the season.
Yeah, it really starts every day. It's stacking those days. And I know that's what you work to do each and every day. And so really appreciate your time today, Troy. Wish you the very best this season. Hope to get out there and see you this year as well.
Thank you so much, Q. And thank you, Denny. Both of you do such a great job, not only for college football, but most of all, to bring to light what service members, their contributions and their commitment.
And thank you, Coach. The way you're serving our nation now is awesome. And thank you, Quentin. You're a great member of the team, and we're going to be doing the next segment together, so stay hot.
All right.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, co-host Quentin and I will discuss an overview of the upcoming Military Academy's football season, then we'll open the weekly mailbag. Troops, I hope you're giving serious thought to buying gold and silver to keep your future more secure. Check out Universal Coin. That's where I go. Check universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm twice, then take a break and stay in the area. I'll be right back.
HelpVet.net is here to help all veterans, active military, and families. HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with their everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, discounted services, or information on retirement benefits, financial resources, and much more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all your needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net. Never forget, never forgotten.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. And it's time for football co-host Quentin Roberts and I to discuss the about-to-start Service Academy football season. Are you ready to rock, Quentin?
Denny, I am ready to rock and roll for another season.
You know, we got five service academies. We generally focus on Army, Navy, and Air Force, but we certainly don't forget Coast Guard and Merchant Marine. Where do you want to start?
Well, Denny, I want to start this year with in West Point, New York, with the Black Knights. You know, they have, I think, some really interesting storylines, starting with the fact that they are moving into the American Athletic Conference. Navy already belongs to the AAC. And Army is joining. Conference realignment has been a major issue within college football. And Army is not exempt from that. They sought a home. I think it's going to afford them some stability and scheduling. And really, I think they are looking to have a very good season
in their first season in the AAC. So I think they're going to make some noise and contend for the championship. It's a natural landing spot for them because of the fact that Navy is already in the AAC too. So now it's going not only to be a CIC game, but it's going to be a conference game for Army-Navy, as both will belong to the American Athletic Conference.
Yep, that's an important point. And particularly because I will be at the Army-Navy game, and now I'll know I'm watching two different events at the same time.
You know, the other aspect of Army, of course, is that they have a lot of returning production, starting with their quarterback, Bryson Daly, coming back. You know, towards the end of the season, Army reverted to kind of what I'll call its old form, its traditional option attack. And they tried to get away from it early in the season. Really, we're not finding the success that they had hoped. I don't think they were built really to, in terms of the recruited talent that they had, in order to really make that move. But what they are doing is they are refocusing their recruiting a bit and bringing in kind of a longer, leaner player to be able to compete with the American Athletic Conference foes. So, but Bryson Daly does lead the offense. Defensively, they are going to be stocked again. Their defensive backfield comes in very strong. And, you know, when you look at their schedule is very favorable for them, again, to compete in their first year in the AAC for the conference championship.
And we're going to talk about Navy next, or Air Force?
Why don't we go out into the Rocky Mountain State with Air Force and talk about kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum from Army. While Army's not really a veteran team, they do have experience. Air Force lost so much offensively and defensively. Their whole offensive line gone to graduation. Quarterback gone to graduation. I think they have one returning starter. And, you know, and I may be a little bit off, but you also always have players who have started here and there. Defensively, they've got three guys in the NFL from last year's team. They lost the Thorpe Award winner. They lost Bo Richter, the Thorpe Award winner being Trey Taylor. Bo Richter, sack leader with the Minnesota Vikings, and Alec Mock, who's with the Broncos. So, you know, again, a lot of talent that was on that team. And the interesting thing is, due to their coaching continuity, Coach Troy Calhoun is the kind of the dean of college coaches now. He's been at Air Force going on 18 years. And so he has continuity within his offensive coordinator, Mike Thiessen, and his defensive coordinator, Brian Knorr, who are also Air Force Academy graduates, to be able to have systems in place that the players can grow with. So what they experienced, whether it's at the prep school or as freshmen, are the same plays, the same defenses that they are going to be implementing as sophomores, juniors, and seniors. Then it's just a matter of getting their bodies up to par in terms of weight-wise, speed-wise, strength-wise, to be able to handle the rigors of the season. So Troy usually surprises in these kinds of years because no one knows what to expect. And so Air Force tends to be able to fly under the radar and somewhat surprise some teams. Their season is really going to hinge on a lot of unknowns. But over the years, that's proven to be pretty beneficial for the Academy and for the Falcons.
Yes, sir. That guy is a winner. I don't care what you say about anything else. He's a great guy. And as you say, he's been there a long time. Okay, then there's Navy.
Then there's Navy. And I tell you what, you know, Coach Newberry is a first-time head coach. He's in his second year. And he's really still rebounding from, believe it or not, the COVID year. 2020 and 2019, Navy was an 11-2 team. And then in 2020 is when they had they began a series of losing seasons. Of course, a couple of years ago, Coach Ken Niumatalolo was relieved of his duties. Coach Brian Newberry, who was the then defensive coordinator, became the head coach. Coach Niumatalolo, as an aside, is in his first year at San Jose State this year as the head coach. So, you know, we want to wish Coach Niumatalolo luck and hope he has a good season, too.
You bet.
But, you know, Navy, they had two quarterbacks last year. that they played Braxton Woodson and, oh, the other name escapes me right now. I'll find it in my notes. But, you know, so they are going to battle it out in fall camp in order to figure out who is going to be the starter there. Blake Horvath is that quarterback. Blake is a junior. Braxton is a sophomore. They were 5-7 last season, which isn't a bad season, and 4-4 in the AAC. So Navy has found that they are competitive in this conference, which I think Army will find as well. And, you know, when you talk about one score losses, if you can turn those losses into wins, you know, you're on the other side of 5-7 to 7-5 right there. You know, Navy is moving to their offense last year just was not up to par. So they brought in a new offensive coordinator, Drew Kronick, who's the former head coach at Mercer. And he runs a variation of the wing T. Now that goes back a long ways, right? This is when I was in, you know, started playing football in the 70s. I learned the wing T. So this goes back a little ways. But good football is good football. It never goes out of style, right? So it's going to be a variation of kind of deception, veer, option. And they, hopefully they'll find some opportunities to pass the ball a little bit more and to have favorable matchups. So, you know, with them going to that offense, Army kind of going back to what has worked for them in the past, it's going to be interesting to and Air Force coming in with a lot of newness, a new quarterback, new running backs, new offensive line. How these teams operate offensively is going to be very important. Now, defensively for the midshipmen, you can expect that the defense is going to be stout. They were stout last year. Coach Brian Newberry was, before he became the head coach, was the defensive coordinator. And it was because of the job that he did as the defensive coordinator that he is rewarded with a position as the head coach. PJ Volker is the defensive coordinator now, doing a great job. They had a stout defense last year, led by Colin Ramos and Justin Reed and Raymond Lane. So the Meds are expected to really be stout on the defensive side, as are the Black Knights. Air Force, again, has question marks there because they lost so much talent. So interesting to look at all three teams. And I think, you know, it's going to be a good season. It can really be, I think, in the end, a very rewarding season. When you don't have high expectations, you're able to be pleasantly surprised. And I think that's what we'll find with Air Force. I think even with Army going to the AAC and with Navy in the second year of Brian Newberry.
Well said. We'll be covering Coast Guard and Merchant Marine, but not right now. Thank you, Quinton. Folks, I hope you'll be joining us as we enjoy this season. Thanks, Quinton. Off we go, bro. Here we go.
Here we go, into the wild blue yonder, Denny. Hold on tight, folks. It's going to be a great season.
It is indeed. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups. How about 64 this time? I want you Ranger ready. Then stand at ease.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S. only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at PatriotFoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off PatriotFoods.com. 10% off promo code FREEDOM and shop today.
It's that time of the year again. The U.S. Mint is making their new 2024 American Silver Eagle and American Gold Eagle coins, and there's no better time to shore up your investment in precious metals than now. Call Universal Coin and Bullion at 800 UCB Gold to get great prices on the finest gold and silver coins of the year. I work with Universal Coin and Bullion because they're a company that you can trust. So give them a call at 800 UCB Gold. That's 800 UCB Gold, or check them out at universalcoin.com/Denny. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Front Lines of Freedom. You know, I do some coin collecting, and Universal Coin was the dealer of the year for the American Numismatic Association. It's a great place to go for coins, and a really great place to go to purchase silver and gold, which is what I do. I encourage you to go to universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. Check them out. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Send your thoughts to me through Frontlines of Freedom or on Facebook. Skip, what's the first comment?
Well, Colonel, Marie, an Army vet, appreciated your comments about the great first sergeant you had as a company commander and how you contrasted him to Mr. Walls.
Marie, First Sergeant Cook was a great soldier and a great human. I find neither quality in Mr. Walls.
And Sharon, an Army mom, appreciated the interview with the man from the Officers Christian Fellowship. How can she find out where they're located so she can share with her sons?
Sharon, go to their website, OCFUSA.org. Okay, now it's time for military history. What's first, Skip?
Well, Colonel, on 5 September 1774, in response to the British Parliament's enactment of the Coercive Acts in the American colonies, the first session of the Continental Congress convened at Carpenter's Hall in Philadelphia. 56 delegates from all of the colonies except Georgia drafted a Declaration of Rights and Grievances and elected Virginian Peyton Randolph as the first president of Congress. Patrick Henry, George Washington, John Adams, and John Jay were among the delegates.
Now, on the 2nd of September, 1777, the American flag was flown in battle for the first time during a Revolutionary War skirmish at Cooch's Bridge, Delaware. Patriot General William Maxwell ordered the, quote, Stars and Stripes, end quote, banner raised as a detachment of his infantry and cavalry met an advance guard of the British and Hessian troops. The rebels were defeated and forced to retreat to Brandywine Creek in Pennsylvania, where they joined General George Washington's main force.
And on 4 September 1780, Patriot Francis, the Swamp Fox Marion's Carolina militia routed loyalists at Blue Savannah, South Carolina, and in the process, Marion won new recruits to the Patriot cause.
And on the 4th of September, 1918, U.S. troops landed at Archangel in northern Russia. The landing was part of an Allied intervention in the civil war raging in that country after the Revolution of 1917 led to the abdication of Tsar Nicholas II in favor of a provisional government, the seizure of power by Vladimir Lenin and his radical socialist Bolshevik party, and finally, Russia's withdrawal from the participation alongside the Allies in World War I.
And on 3 September 1939, in response to Hitler's invasion of Poland, Britain and France, both Polish allies, declared war on Germany.
On the 4th of September 1940, during World War II, the American destroyer Greer became the first U.S. vessel fired on in the war when a German sub aimed a few torpedoes at it, sparking heightened tensions between the U.S. and Germany. We weren't in the war yet.
And on 3 September 1943, during World War II, the British 8th Army under Field Marshal Bernard Montgomery began the Allied invasion of the Italian peninsula, crossing the Strait of Messina from Sicily and landing at Calabria, the toe of Italy. On that day, the Italian government secretly agreed to the Allies' terms for surrender, but no public announcement was made until September 8.
And on the 2nd of September 1945, aboard the USS Missouri in Tokyo Bay, Japan formally surrendered to the Allies, bringing a formal end to World War II. This sometimes is referred to as VJJ for Victory Over Japan.
And on 3 September 1950, a U.S. Military Assistance Advisory Group of 35 men arrived in Saigon to screen French requests for American military aid, assist in the training of South Vietnamese troops, and advise on strategy.
And on the 5th of September 1969, Lieutenant William Calley was charged with six specifications of premeditated murder in the death of 109 Vietnamese civilians at My Lai in March 1968. Calley, a platoon leader in Charlie Company, 1st Battalion, 20th Infantry, 11th Infantry Brigade, and the 23rd AmeriCal Division, he'd led his men in a massacre of Vietnamese civilians, including women and children, at My Lai 4, a cluster of hamlets that made up the San Mai village in a coastal lowlands of I Corps tactical zone, on March 16, 1968.
And on 5 September 1972, at the Summer Olympics in Munich, Germany, a group of Palestinian terrorists stormed the Olympic Village apartment of the Israeli athletes, killing two and taking nine others hostage. The terrorists, known as Black September, demanded that Israel release over 230 Arab prisoners being held in Israeli jails and two German terrorists. In an ensuing shootout at the Munich airport, the 9 Israeli hostages were killed, along with 5 terrorists and 1 West German policeman. Olympic competition was suspended for 24 hours to hold memorial services for the slain athletes.
And that's military history for today. What would you do if you were forced to defend yourself or your family? These situations can happen to anybody, so it's important to be prepared. In addition to it being the worst day of your life, you can face a large amount of legal bills. Even if you're in the right in a self-defense situation, there will almost always be an investigation, and you can find yourself in the legal system. It's just the way the law works. This is why U.S. Law Shield was formed. They are here to help people who, through events who never thought they would happen to them. With their Legal Defense for Self-Defense program, experienced attorneys are always available to defend you 24/7, 365. To begin your membership today, go to uslawshield.com or dial 877-448-6839. Use the promo code FRONTLINES. And now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, bro.
Well, Colonel, all of us here at Frontlines of Freedom believe strongly in your right to keep and bear arms for protection of yourself and your family. All across the country, violent crime is skyrocketing, and now, more than ever, Americans need to stand up and exercise their Second Amendment rights. Now is the time to get trained and ready to handle this growing threat. But if you're not, please look into it and learn what you can do to legally carry a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
General Stevens' home surveillance camera captured the moment a machete-wielding intruder approached his home. Quote, I freaked out. I have 2 young children here in the house and just went into a complete fight-or-flight mode, Stevens said. He'd moved his family away from Austin because of the high crime rate, thinking he'd be safer out in the country. The invader was a 43-year-old Jerry Escamala, and he managed to climb a fence and then get onto the upper deck of the family's home, all while holding a very large machete. Stevens locked all the doors, retrieved his firearm, then he pointed his 9mm pistol at the intruder and threatened to kill him. The invader retreated. He was later arrested and is no longer at large.
Thanks, Colonel. I hear stories like this all the time from my rural home defense class students. Many people have the misconception that crime never happens out in the country, but that just isn't true. It's true that the crime rate is lower in rural areas, but danger is still there. Many crimes are drug and alcohol related, and rural people have addiction problems just like city people do. And think about this. Do criminals ever travel? The obvious answer is yes. How do criminals get from one city to the next? Well, they get in their car and they drive through the countryside or might even walk or hitchhike. In a related interview, this family man told TV reporters that he thought he'd be safe out in the country. But now he knows the truth, and he says he'll be turning his home into Fort Knox. If you want to make your home safer as well, here are some things that you can do. First, install an alarm system along with video cameras and a video doorbell. This tips you off to what's going on in your yard and outbuildings and even on the porch. Second, install motion sensor lights all around your home, high up so they can't be disengaged. And third, harden your doors, making sure they're connected to your house with 3 to 6 inch screws instead of the standard 3/4 inch screws. And fourth, cut down any foliage near your windows and doors that allow invaders to hide. Five, train your children to help you watch for anything out of the ordinary. Kids should be an asset and not a liability. And six, stage loaded firearms in locked gun safes all around your home. You should never be more than 5 seconds away from a firearm. This homeowner did a great job defending his home, and now he's determined to make his family even more safe. So Frontlines of Freedom salutes this father and husband and wishes him all the best as he continues to grow in his protector-defender lifestyle.
Well said, brother. Our movie of the month is Alternative Math. Reviewed it last week. You can still go to the Frontlines of Freedom website, go to the blog and get the link and watch it for free. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk with General Arnold Panero. Then Jeff Grinnell will discuss how Americans' youth are doing. Next, we'll talk with the Army football coach about his season. And Quentin Roberts will review last weekend's Surface Academy football games. Okay, our book, Frontlines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. And it's now available in Spanish. You can purchase that book on frontlinesoffreedom.com or Amazon. Please help us get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans. And do get active in correcting our nation. Plug into Concerned Veterans for America. go to cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Stand tall, be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information you will not get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.